Here's an important one. Effective communication. Communication through perception of the outside world, person-to-person communication, and communication through the soul. It's important when we communicate that we be understood, and it's important when somebody is communicating to us that we understand them. If you don't understand the other person, it's important that we ask questions. Well, what did you mean? Let's say that he makes, let's say people are having a political conversation and somebody says something you consider racist. Okay, well, is the correct thing to do is to say, hey, you're a racist? No, well, maybe the guy didn't really mean it that way. So what you do, you say, well, now you said this and it sounds racist, is that what you meant? And maybe the guy will say, no, I didn't mean that at all. Now, here's what I really meant when I said this. And then when somebody goes through this, we need to take him at his word instead of saying, no, I think you're racist. So we take people at their word until there's some really good reason not to take their word. That's what I try to do in life. I try to, when anybody tells me something, even if they're suspect, I try to take them at their word until I have a reason to not accept that word. And then I proceed that way. If you doubt somebody's word or distort it and repeat it back to them, it just makes them very angry. It's sometimes, and if somebody is trying to distort the truth, if you ask for clarification, that will make them angry too, because people that are distorting the truth don't want their distortion revealed. It agitates them when they are discovered. So it's important that when people say anything that is controversial, that we have them repeat it. Now, when you said this, it sounded like you meant this. Is that what you really meant? So first of all, in communication, make sure you understand the other person. Now, in intimate relationships, husband and wife, good friends, you got to do the same thing. Sometimes we will offend each other, and we don't mean to offend each other. So when this happens, you could say, well, now you said this, and it sounds really terrible. Is this what you really meant? And many times they will say, well, no, I didn't mean it that way. You know, here's what I really meant. But it's amazing when you get in a heated argument with somebody and you try to clarify what you mean, they will often not accept your clarification. They'll go back to your original statement and insist that that is you. Anybody have that happen before? I see Annie smiling over there.
Often, also at work, when we discuss things, I mean, we do not agree. People do that.
Yeah. I often have that happen in an argument where once it gets heated and you try to clarify, I don't want to accept clarification. Now, Annie's a pretty mental person, so I can see that whatever argument you offered probably was pretty reasonable. But often, but if they don't think you're reasonable, then that's probably often their fault because they didn't understand you.
There's a book, I actually want to buy it, but I've been on YouTube a number of times and I've listened to the woman that wrote the book talk about verbal abuse. And she says that when you do that to a person, is actually a form of verbal abuse. When you start telling, no, this is what you said, and this is what you meant, that is actually a form of verbal abuse.
Yeah, right, it is. Because oftentimes, all of us, maybe the words come out just not quite right. Sometimes that'll happen with all of us. And so when they come out not quite right, if somebody has a chip against you and they say, well, you said this and you meant this, well, no, I didn't mean that, and they won't let you clarify. I mean, that is a form of verbal abuse. You should, what I do is I always let the person clarify. If they say something controversial or maybe even hurtful, you know, that's what I'll do. I say, well, you said this. Is this really what you meant? You know. And oftentimes that diffuses the problem. But not always. Sometimes they did mean that.
When Okay.
In this new trend in organizations is they're doing this new training called double loop learning, and this is along this idea of people being able to process their own stuff so that they're not going back and forth, projecting it back and forth within their colleagues. Because obviously they're now starting to realize that, the coworkers who are having problems with the bosses and all this, power dichotomy actually has to do with people and they're projecting their own issues. So there's this whole new trend about single loop learning and double loop learning, and double loop learning is going to the source. So why are you responding, so defensively? Is it because you're not owning your own truth and that your ideas were good and whatnot? So it's an interesting thing that, again, is just new, but starting within the business and organizational phone, because they're realizing that there's lots of conflict going on because people don't know how to communicate very well.
Yeah, we're in an era, it seems like there's conflict a lot of different places. And
it's a strange time. It's kind of comparable to just before the Civil War in America. There was tremendous conflict going on back then, similar to what we're having today. Okay, discover and understand principles, because truth is in harmony with principles. A principle is worth 1,000 words, yet it may take 1,000 words to describe or to bring a person to the understanding of one principle. Matter of fact, Rulina lists 100 principles from my forthcoming book. Let's look at a couple of them. Here we go.
What page is it?
Page 107. Yeah, one of the principles is the next thing on my list, the law of correspondences, which is great. Key to finding the truth.
Starts on 106.
You take that which is on one level and correspond it to another level, and you'll often find much truth. The greatest correspondence is, of course, the atomic world. You have a nucleus circled about with electrons, and in the solar system you have something similar where you have a central sun and tiny planets circling around it. Not nearly the mass of the central sun, just like the electrons don't have nearly the mass of their the central protons and neutrons. But the correspondences are never exact. The law of correspondence, the higher is like the lower, but with a twist. In other words, God does not duplicate himself. He always does something different. When he does something different, because he doesn't want to do the same thing over and over and over. He says, "Behold, I do all things new," in the book of Revelation. Now, there is a scripture that says God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And a lot of religious people look at that scripture and they think, well, God is just exactly the same all the time. He doesn't do new stuff or old stuff. He just does the same stuff. And when we go live with God, we're just going to live in eternal bliss and it will be pretty much the same for all eternity. Well, we'd get bored pretty fast, wouldn't we? And God gets bored too, so he does all things new. Why do you suppose it says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? What do you think the context of that scripture really meant? Any ideas?
With his, with the idea of always doing things new.
Of what?
Always doing things new.
Yeah, you could put it that way. That's an interesting twist. What it means when you read the context of that scripture is it's really just saying you can depend on God yesterday, you can depend on God today, and you can depend on God tomorrow. That's the gist of what the scripture was saying. It's not saying he just is exactly the same and he never changes and he's never going to do anything new. That's not what it's saying at all. It's just talking about how dependable God is. And so, God and all the higher lives are very dependable. And that's an important thing for us to learn, is to be dependable. So any word that we give out is true. If every word and every promise you make comes true, then you're on the path to becoming a master.